Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another week of the broadcast here on WBOB. This is David Clark. I'm excited to be with you again today. I'm looking forward to what God's going to give us in his word today. And so we thank you for listening wherever you are. We want to shout out to the guys at Baker County Correctional, guys at Florida State Prison, UCI out there. We appreciate you all for listening to us so much, and we're looking forward to hearing the reports from what God's doing in your life. And I do want to remind everyone listening today that you can like, comment on Facebook, on my personal Facebook page, on David Clark, or also you can email at, spell it out, brotherdavidontheair@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments you'd like to send to me, I'll be glad to reply back to you. All right, so let's get into the word today. You have to excuse my voice. I preached last night and just about stripped my voice out, so just pray for me today, all right? Psalms 91 is where we're going to start. Psalms 91, I'll give you a minute to turn there and read along with us today. This chapter that we're going to be reading through today, and I will read all 16 verses of it, but David is describing to us today, the subheading above this chapter is the security of the godly. This is God's promise for what he'll do for people that serve him, that live for him. But I want to focus in on something this morning and share with you out of Psalms 91. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." Listen to verse number 9. "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." I want to remember that word. "There shall no evil thing befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." I want to talk just for a little bit this morning. I want to deal with this word habitation in verse number 9. "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." That word habitation is talking, if you look it up, it is an environment that something lives in. It's your surroundings. It's where something, an animal or a species or something, where it thrives. You can go down to the zoo this morning, Jacksonville Zoo. You can look at all the different animal habitats, and those different environments were made specifically for that animal. That's what that's the environment that they thrive in. That's the environment that they were created to live in. It's where they flourish. Now, you can go out into the wilderness and you can look at natural habitats of animals. And I gave an example last night. I want to give it to you again. If you were to take a polar bear and put him out in the desert somewhere, he would not survive. He would not flourish like he does in his natural habitat in the North Pole, because that's where he was designed to be. He was created to be in that Arctic climate. The same with a desert lizard. You put him up in the North Pole somewhere, and because he can't handle that cold, it's not his natural habitat, he cannot live there. Well, much the same as that idea I want to talk to you about today, you and I were created to be in the presence of God. God created us to fellowship and to have communion with him. Adam and Eve in that garden, God would come down and walk with Adam in the cool of the day. He enjoyed the communion and the fellowship with Adam. It was his desire for man to be in his presence. God created us to fellowship with him. Now, David's talking here, and he says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Being in the presence of God is the most wonderful place that a person can be in. There's a lot of things that you and I face, friend, today. There's a lot of problems that we go through, and we have to have an escape from that. There's a place that we can go in God. There is a place that we can get to in prayer where we enter in into the presence of God. Now, if you've never experienced that, you're missing out. If you've never experienced the presence and the power of God, you are simply missing out. There is so much more to the Christian walk than just routine and tradition, but we can actually experience the presence, the tangible presence of God, fill a room whenever we go to him in prayer. The Bible says that whenever we go to God, we can go boldly into the throne room of grace. I don't have to go through a priest. I don't have to go through anybody else, but I can walk into the throne room of grace and have an audience with the one that created heaven and earth. Now, that ought to excite us this morning just to know that whenever I bow my head in prayer, that I have an audience with the maker of heaven and earth. And anything that I need, I can go to him and ask, and he will give it to me if I pray according to his will. Now, making God our habitation today, talking about that, I want to give this title here, When Visitation Becomes Habitation. Think about that now. When visitation becomes habitation. Whenever you go to visit a relative, you go out of town, you take an overnight bag with you, you may stay a little while, but eventually you're going to come back home. Eventually you're going to come back to where you live because you're just there to visit. You're just there on a temporary basis. You enjoy the comforts of their hospitality, you enjoy the fellowship, but you come back home because you're not there permanently, you're on a visit. A lot of folks would prefer their relatives to just be on a visit and not live with them permanently. And, some of us like living on our own. But listen, it's good to go and visit family. I love to visit my mother. I love to visit relatives. I got a brother that lives up in North Carolina. I want to get to his house. I want to see everything. I want to enjoy a visit. I want to travel and see places and all that. But I live, I abide here in my home. Well, much the same way a lot of people, they have made a home for themselves spiritually, but God is calling us to live and abide in his presence. God wants us to dwell with him and to live with him permanently in his presence. But too much of the church world today, we have made going into the presence of God a visit instead of living there. We've made going to church just a thing, a place that we visit on the weekends. We've made fellowshipping with God just here and there to visit with him when God wants us to dwell with him, to live there with him forever. Now listen to the words in the scripture, the chapter 91 of the book of Psalms. Listen to the words that the writer uses here. They are permanent words. Listen, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, dwell, to stay, shall abide. That word abide there means to thrive and to flourish, to stay there, to make yourself home there. That's the place that you belong. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. Listen, we can live and dwell in the presence of God. And friend, it's the best place that you could ever get to in your life. There's a lot of people that are floating here and there. They're just passing around out there. No real anchor, no real sure direction. There's no real stability. But friends, we can be stable and we can be secure if we will make the presence of God our habitation. if we will make the Spirit of God and in Christ the place that we decide we're going to put down roots, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to dwell with Him. I'm not leaving the presence of God. I want to stay here. I want to read verse 9 again. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Not something that we're going to just magically say, okay, God, make me in your presence. Put me in your presence. We're going to have to decide within ourselves, I am going to make the presence of God my habitation. The place where I want to thrive, and the place where we will thrive and flourish, the place where we receive strength, the place where we receive encouragement, there is provision, all that. I'm going to get into that in the presence of God. The Bible says, in my presence, there is fullness of joy. There is things where there's benefits of being in the Spirit, in the presence of God. And that's where the child of God, that's where God wants us to be, is in His presence. Now, first of all, I want to say that in the presence of God, there's two things the Lord dealt with me about. There's two benefits. And then I want to talk about being outside the presence of God, if time will allow here. In the presence of God, I want to read to you out of Galatians here. There is power to stay. Power to stay. Now listen to what I'm going to say here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Abiding and dwelling in the Spirit of God, it leads us, the Spirit of God, He leads us into all truth. There is no wavering in the Spirit of God. When we dwell in God's presence, in His Spirit, He leads us and guides us into all truth. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Ghost is a teacher. He's a comforter, He's a companion, He's a lot of things. And He leads us into truth. There is no wavering. We can't be turned around and deceived. We can't backslide. We can't do any of that if we stay in the presence of God. If we live our life following after the Spirit of God. This I say then, to walk. That means in all of your actions, in your life, everything that you do, stay in the Spirit of God in your Christian walk. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The sin that man finds himself involved in, the sin that we find ourselves giving way to and being subject to, the only reason why we find ourselves subject to sin and turning from God is because we do not abide in His Spirit, because sin cannot abide there. And I want to just say this to you this morning. I don't want to be negative or be mean or anything, but I must rightly divide this word of God, you understand. I have to tell you both sides of it. As much as God wants us to live in His Spirit, as much as God wants us to dwell with Him, and He wants His Spirit inside of us, there are things that the Holy Ghost will not permit. There is actions and activities that the Spirit of God will not bless. He will not permit. He will not stay. Now, there are places that you can go, and you can make up your mind that you're going to go take part in things, but the Spirit of God will not go there if it is not in the will and the Word of God. If it's not righteousness, if it's not holiness, the Spirit of God will have no part of it, because He is truth. He is righteousness. He is the Spirit of God Almighty, and there is no sin in Him. So we can make up our mind, Lord, I'm going to go out to the bar tonight. I'm going to go out, have drinks with friends, just enjoy a good time. Well, friend, number one, I don't believe the Holy Ghost would ever tell anybody to go out drinking. But number two, you may decide you're going to go, but the Spirit of God will not go with you. There comes a point in every believer's life where we can buck against conviction, we can buck against the leadership of the Holy Ghost, but if in our own stubbornness we say, I'm going to do this, the Holy Ghost will say, you are going without me. I will not go there, because in Him is light. There's no darkness at all. He's not a child of the night. He's not a partier. He's not a person that goes out and takes part in all the things of the world. He's holy and He's righteous today. Somebody agree with me. Now listen to me. The Spirit of God leads us into all truth. He leads us into all holiness and righteousness. And so us dwelling, making a decision to dwell in the Spirit of God, he's going to lead us in that truth. He's going to do everything to lead us towards Christ. If you're not making your way towards Christ, you're backsliding. If we're not going towards him, we're moving backwards. That's just logic. If we're not making progress to be more like Christ and to be more holy as Christ is in this progressive walk of faith, then we're backsliding. He said to be perfect. Well, the only perfection is in Christ, and I must make strides to be like Christ. I must be perfect as he's perfect. Now, the Spirit of God that we can dwell in, he wants to dwell in us dwell in him. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. He will keep us from falling. He's able to keep us from falling. But there's benefits. And what he said here is power to stay. Power to stay saved. Power to stay in the faith. Power to have a firm foundation. Listen to the scripture here. Galatians 5 and 16. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He didn't say you wouldn't be tempted. He didn't say the devil would not try you. He said if you walk in the Spirit, you may be tried and you may be tested, but you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the Spirit will give you power to resist the devil. The Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, what? The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. There is power to stand against the temptation of the enemy. There's folks that says, well, Brother David, I can't be saved. I can't stay saved because I can't quit sinning. Well, listen, in your flesh, you can't quit sinning. But if you abide in the Spirit of God, if you make God your habitation and you live and you dwell with him, you can't turn back to a life of sin, because there is no sin in God. He is holy, friends, and he is righteous. Now, listen to me this morning. There's power to stay. If you've ever been born again, if you've ever been saved, you're in the church, maybe you're facing temptation, the devil's trying to knock you out of this thing, I want to remind you that he cannot remove you from the Spirit of God. You cannot be pulled out of God's hand. The only way you can go back into the world is if you neglect your salvation. If you forsake God, if you decide you're going to turn around. But if you stay in the Spirit of God, he said, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All the things that this body craves, all the things this mind craves, all the things of the world that we want to give attention to, we will not fulfill those things if we live and dwell in the Spirit of God. We make God our habitation. It's the place that we can come to as a believer where nothing else in this world matters. Where the pleasures in sin, they have no power over us. They have no appeal and no attraction for us, because we love God and we're filled with his Spirit and we walk in the Spirit. Now I'll move on here quickly. Galatians 5:16 we just read. I want to move on here to John 15 and 7. John 15 and 7. We know there's power to stay. We know that living in the Spirit of God gives us power to stay, gives us power to stay saved, gives us power to overcome temptation. Another benefit to living and dwelling in the Spirit of God. Listen, there's a promise of provision. John 15 and 7. Let's read that together. John 15 and 7 says here, if you abide in me, there's that word again, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let's read that again. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. This is a promise, friends, today for those who will make a decision to follow Christ, for those who will forsake this world, for those who have decided that they love God more than they love pleasure of life, more they love the pleasures of sin for a season. If you abide in me, if you come and live in my presence, if you make the Spirit of God your habitation, if it's the place where you want to thrive, the place where you want to live and breathe, it's the place in God that I want to stay in, it's the safety of the Spirit of God. Listen, He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. There is provision in living in God's Spirit. There is provision. There is blessing in the Spirit of God. There's a place in God we can get to, friends, where we can pray the prayer of faith. We can lay hands on the sick. We can pray for our own finances. We can pray for healing for our bodies. Pray for our lost loved ones. Pray for our job. Pray for different things. And God will hear our prayers. But the only time he will hear our prayers is if we have a righteous, clean heart. If we have pure, clean hands and a pure heart, and we love God, we're serving him. If we're living right, if we abide in his Spirit, then God said you can ask anything that you will and you'll have it. He said, I will do it. Listen, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Listen, listen to me this morning. There's a promise of provision. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. It's hard being a sinner. It's hard living a lifestyle of sin, not having the promise of provision. You know, just any old drunk on the corner can't call on God and say, Lord, I need a financial blessing. God's not going to give him anything. God's not going to hear that prayer because he's not born again. The Bible said the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. God will hear a prayer of repentance from a sinner. But friend, if you want the ear of God, if you want God to lend his ear to you and to give you the desires of your heart, if you want God to work miracles in your life, then you have to do your part and you have to live in the Spirit of God and abide there. Let Jesus get inside your heart. Let this word of God get in your life. Let it change you and transform you and dwell in that Spirit of God and listen, and you will have the attention of heaven when you pray. Now, I want to say a couple of things here. I don't want to make nobody mad. Brother David loves all of y'all. I love everybody. I want everybody to go to heaven, though. So I got to tell you the truth. We can't live like the world on the weekends. We can't live like the world all through the week and then on Sunday go to church and feel God because somebody else prayed him down. Somebody else fasted. Somebody else preached. Somebody else sang the glory down and then go home and think everything is fine because we felt the presence of God while we were at church. You can get goosebumps all over you. Your hair on your neck could stand up. You can feel everything that you think is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Anything, whatever your experience is, I don't know. You could go outside, hear birds sing and say, well, glory to God. You know, I felt the presence of God today. But listen to me. It makes no difference. It makes no difference if he's not in your heart. It makes no difference. You can live like the devil all week long and go to church all you want to on Sunday, but unless you live and dwell and abide in the Spirit of God on a daily basis, God wants you there. He wants to fellowship with you. God sees you on Sunday in church, but he's wondering where you are on Monday, where you are on Tuesday. He's wondering where I saw that they came to my house to worship me or at least watch others worship, but where are they on Thursday? I can't find them. Where did they go? He's calling for us to dwell with him. God is calling for us to abide with him and fellowship with him. He's not a mad God that's sitting on a cloud with thunderbolts waiting to strike you, friend. He loves us. We are his creation. Did you know that? We are the handiwork of God, and it's his desire to fellowship with you today. It's God's desire to love on you and to give you what you need. It's God's desire to help you make it to heaven where he can live and abide with you forever. And he wants us to be there. He wants us to make it there. But there's something we must do on our part, and we must give God all of us now. We must give God all of us now. Forsaking everything else in the world that doesn't matter. It's all temporal. It's all going to pass away. It all has no meaning in eternity. It's not worth it, friends. Why would we not turn our hearts to God? Why would we not turn our affections to God and serve him? Why would we not embrace these promises in this word and let God give them to us? Why would we not want what this word says is ours? Why would we not want the love and the companionship of God whenever it's there for the taking if we would just submit ourselves to the word of God? If we would just be part of the family. There is a love like you have never known. Now, this, I'm going to be honest with you. This is not going the way that I had laid out this morning that I thought it was going to go, but I feel like I'm talking to people today. I feel like the Lord's going to deal with somebody through this message. I feel like God's going to deal with somebody's heart. Maybe you're in a place right now where your heart is tender towards Him, and you just need to know that God loves you. Well, I want to let you know He doesn't just love you, friend. He loves you so much, He gave everything for you. He gave the best that heaven had to offer. He gave Jesus Christ on a tree to die for you, to die for your sin, so you did not have to go to hell. God gave everything for you. And then after he sent his son to die, Jesus ascended back to heaven. Then he sent the Holy Ghost down to comfort us and to lead and guide us and to be here with us until he calls us back home. Listen, folks, God gave everything. He provided everything for you because he loves you today. There is not a thing you can do about it. He loves you. People say, well, I don't care if he loves me or not. I don't care. Or people say, God couldn't love me. God can't love me. Folks, you can't tell God what he can and can't do. He loves you anyways. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how long you wallowed there. It doesn't matter how many scars you have from sin. It doesn't matter if you're tattooed from the top of your head to your big toe. It doesn't matter what you've done in that life. Jesus still loves you, and he died for you today. He wants you to fellowship with him. You can know him today, and you can fellowship with him if you just give your life to him. If you just give your heart to him today, turn over to the Lord and say, God, I can't live this way anymore. There's something inside of me that is longing for peace and for satisfaction that I can't get from alcohol. There's something inside of me that is craving fulfillment that I can't get from the lust of the flesh. I can't get in the company of strange people. I can't get in the gamble, the poker room. I can't get it on a casino. I can't get it in other places. There's something inside of me that's longing for satisfaction. Well, friends, listen to me this morning. You can find satisfaction in the presence of God. You can pray. And you can feel the presence of God come in the room and wrap his arms around you and comfort you and give you the things that you need. The promises we're talking about today, the provision in the Spirit of God and the power to stay in the Spirit of God, the power to be saved and to stay born again. You can have that today, but it's only available in the Spirit of God. It's only available by serving Jesus. There's only one way. There's only one way. There is a satisfaction to serving God that you will not get anywhere else. You listen to me this morning. I've been in the world. I've tried things of the world. I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed to say that I've tried things in the world. I'm ashamed to say that I look for satisfaction in other places. I tried to fill voids in other places. And I hate that I have to tell you that. But listen, the only thing that I'm glad about is that I know the Lord this morning. And I can tell you that all the things that I tried and all the places that I went trying to find satisfaction, I could not find it until I came back to the Lord, and I allowed him to be Lord of my life. I allowed him to fill me up with his joy and with his gladness and mercy. He forgave me and washed me. And friends, let me tell you, whenever God washes your sins away, when the blood of Jesus cleanses you, you are cleansed forever. He said, even the Son makes free, free indeed. Listen, you can be free today. You can live and abide in the Spirit of God. But you can't get it from just a visit on Sunday morning to church and then go home and act the same. He doesn't want you to visit with him, brother. He wants you to make him your habitation. Pack your bags up. Serve the devil an eviction notice and say, devil, I'm moving out. I got a new residence. I'm going to live with God. I love you today. God bless you. We're out of time. Get somewhere. Get to the house of God. We love you. Praying for you. Make God your habitation today.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.